Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah, well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. And we're live today with Tech Thursday. And our Tech Thursday guru is back with us, Burton Kelso from Integral. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Just want to dive right in because I'm a little disturbed this morning, as you know, about a story that came up that unfortunately we all could be targeted and victims of, and that's the story where the Uber driver and the homeowner were, I guess, both tricked into a situation, and the homeowner defended himself, and I guess defended himself. I thought it was maybe a little extreme, but in any case, what happened, the Uber driver got, he shot her three times, allegedly shot her three times, and she has lost her life. So you know, and then the person or persons or entity or whatever that's responsible, I guess, is in the wind right now?
Yeah, that's what the case is. The challenge is that with a lot of these cyber criminals, they are overseas and usually out of the jurisdiction of the FBI or even the CIA. And it's up to the countries that these criminals reside in to try to extract some sort of justice, but you know, a lot of times it doesn't happen, and this is what we're seeing a lot with cyber crime and cyber scams. They talk about it in the news, but you know, people are really, I guess, really misunderstand how scams work. I mean, we live in a digitally connected world, and I think that everyone thinks that a criminal can just reach into someone's computer at any given time and get their personal information. And that's where the fear lies in, because, you know, there's kind of a sense of loss of control as far as who has access to your information. And it's just caused a lot of paranoia to the point that we've even seen it on a local level with customers dealing with cyber threats and thinking that criminals are able to get into their devices. We had a customer here in the Kansas City area who actually lost her job because she thought that someone was trying to get access to her stuff. And it was people that she knew that she thought was trying to get her information. And, I mean, it's just, I won't say craziness, because people still don't have a good understanding of cyber threats, but at the same time, it's something that really needs to be addressed, because now we're starting to see the extreme level of people and how they react to getting scammed. So, I mean, it's a very unfortunate situation, but I think you may see more and more of this starting to occur because people are just tired of getting scammed.
Okay, so this is my question, and I know there's probably going to be some legal issues with regards to this. Is there any way to backtrace any of this? Like, not necessarily once the crime has been committed, but maybe have devices or some sort of technology where once you answer the phone or once even your phone rings, that you automatically can backtrace who is the actual person or number that is reaching out to you, or where that if it's on the internet, where that source comes from. Is there a way to do
right.
that?
Well, the challenge is that with criminals, they're able to cover their tracks really well. I mean, all a domestic or an international cyber crook needs is a VPN, and you can set one up with one of the legitimate companies like NordVPN, and there's even free VPNs built into browsers such as Opera, where you can just turn the VPN on and it'll mask your location, and it makes it virtually impossible for anyone to find where you are, because with the VPN you can goof up or spoof an IP address, and if you're in the U.S. you can say you're in Europe, if you're in Europe or China or even Russia, you can say you're in the United States. So it's not, and again, that's the myth. It's not that people can just immediately go on and track people. A lot of times the tools that we use to protect ourselves, cyber criminals are doing the same thing. All you have to look at is AI. Yes, we use tools like ChatGPT to find the information we want, but unfortunately cyber criminals can do the same thing and use AI to commit all sorts of scams, and it just causes a problem for everybody.
Okay, so who do we, I guess, hold accountable for this? Do we hold tech companies that develop this tech accountable? Especially if we can't track down the person who was using the tech?
Well, I think ultimately in the instance with this Uber driver and the elderly man, I think you have to hold the elderly man responsible. If he was getting scammed, he didn't have to take matters into his own hands and kill somebody because he thought he was being scammed. I mean, one of the first things they tell you to do if you become a victim of a cybercrime is to call your local authorities and then let them handle the situation. This guy became a vigilante and decided to take matters into his own hands. And I understand that obviously he wanted to be scammed, but, you know, part of what we have to do as a society with cybercrime is to build up what's called our human firewall and educate ourselves as far as the nature of these scams. A lot of them are socially engineered, which means criminals are trying to get you to react to a situation rather than trying to rather than falling victim to it. So if people educate themselves and understand what cyber threats are out there, then people can definitely take better steps to protect falling for a variety of these scams. Because 99% of all cybercrime requires some form of user interaction. And so I think in the instance of this guy who killed the Uber driver, it was like a $12,000 ransom on his nephew who was in prison. So in a situation like that, you would have to, again, talk to local authorities and let them sort it out rather than putting it into your own hands. But, again, we have to understand that, you know, as long as we're not falling for cyber scams or responding to them, then criminals are going to use different tactics in order to try to get our information, or they may just stop altogether, especially if people understand that if they don't react to phone calls or emails, then they're going to lessen their chances that they're going to fall for a scam.
Okay, so this gets less into tech and more into, I'm sensing there's going to be a stand your ground type of challenge with this particular case and some other things. But
I don't think so. No, how can you say stand your ground when an Uber driver just shows up and they're not? I mean, it's not like this lady broke it, tried to break in the guy's house. There was no reason for him to pull a gun. I just think that more people.
I understand that. I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying, though, I sense that there's going to be some sort of drive to use whatever the tools are necessary to kind of get this guy off because he thinks he was defending himself. And one of those tools is probably going to be stand your ground.
Right. But,
so
I mean,
that would be
an interesting take, because if the defense is going to say, well, this guy was standing his ground to protect himself from a cyber threat, I mean, that you would basically have to say, well, how can you stand your ground when you didn't even know what this Uber driver was doing? You know? I don't know.
Well, the thing about it, he was told that, you know, that he was to have this package ready and someone was to pick up this package. So
right, I knew
then
that, yeah.
She shows up to pick up a package. So, I'm sure there's going to be more revealed, but, like I said, this is going to be, I think, less about, in terms of this conversation is about tech, but I think the case is going to be less about tech and more about, who to hold responsible that got these two relatively innocent until
right.
he shot her, innocent party into this situation that was not of their making.
This brings up a different point about how much cybercrime is affecting our society. I mean, yes, we know it's a billion-dollar industry, but up until this point, you just had people just, basically have their lives affected financially. I mean, I can't think of a case where someone has actually lost their life because of a scam that's been going on. And I think this is the beginning of something that's major. And obviously, I don't know how to tackle this problem. Because, I mean, there's all sorts of resources on the Internet to try to tell you how to protect yourself from scams. But obviously the message isn't getting through. Because, I talk around the country on cyber threats. And, I mean, cybercrime is a human problem, meaning that it's up to each individual to understand how to protect themselves. But, gee, if you look at it, it's almost like home safety. Like, people, they tell you, well, this is how you prevent someone from burglarizing your home. But a lot of times people won't take those steps. Like, for example, if you don't want your car broke into, don't leave packages in the front seat. And then people will say, well, I got broke in. This should have never happened. People should just stop. But I think we need to understand as a society that there are malicious people out there, more so than maybe 10 years ago, because they can do it anonymously. And you just have to understand that you have to take steps to protect yourself, because law enforcement and other entities aren't always out there to help protect you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. That does. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We are here with Burton Kelsa of Integral. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Burton Kelso of Integral. It is the third Thursday of the month, Tech Thursday. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. So, let's go back to the case that we were just talking about, Burton.
Mm-hmm.
where would you, you know, okay, so I was, we really didn't talk ahead of time about doing this particular case until a few minutes before the show, but it's interesting how it touched you as well as touching me, because I kind of wanted to mention it, but I wasn't sure. So as a person in the technological field, where would you begin? What would you do? How would you, what would be your first step in terms of initiating a defense against cybercrime?
Well, obviously, I think the media needs to touch upon what people can do to take to stay safe. Because I think, I mean, you may, so a lot of the times when there are cyber incidents that occur, it's more sensationalized in the media, meaning that you see that a breach has happened, or you see the sensational lies about the, you know, man tricked by scam caller kills Uber driver. So it's sensationalized, but it doesn't talk about the nuances of why this crime occurred, or like AT&T was breached, what, 2 weeks ago? And you don't necessarily have the discussion of what people can do, and the fact that it is up to the individuals to take steps. But unfortunately, like we were saying earlier, people just don't always pay attention to preventive maintenance or preventive tips to help them stay safe from these cyber threats. So it's almost like, you know, the whole pandemic and the vaccine were like, yeah, if you don't want to get sick and die, you need to get vaccinated. You've got people or naysayers out there. So I think the big cause is the internet with misinformation as far as cyber threats and what you need to do. But yeah, it's kind of a it's almost a catch 22. Because I mean, how do you get people to be a little bit more proactive? You know. So it's hard, but I mean, obviously, it's a hot topic, and just people need to take it more serious. But I think the media needs the help, and of course, you know, there needs to be all sorts of cyber training involved to help people keep safe from these scams.
So I'm going to go to the extreme here and say,
mm-hmm.
Okay, when you purchase your computer, you should be registered just like if you purchase a gun, you know.
Ooh.
Everybody, because
I
it
like
has now
that.
Become a weapon. Okay.
Yes.
So
you're absolutely
your computer
right.
is now a weapon. It's a weapon now. So you should be registered when you purchase your computer. You know, model number, serial number, whatever is, you know, in the system when you purchase your software, like Windows or whatever it is, it should be registered. You know, and there should be a database.
Okay? Of people who actually own devices.
People that actually own devices and certain software, so that when these things happen and occur, and they do the tracing, they know who to trace this stuff back to.
Right. I kind of agree with that. But again, part of the challenge with that is that a lot of these cyber criminals are overseas. So,
right.
I mean, good luck trying to get them registered, because like China, for example, is like the root of all bootleg CDs and software. And obviously technology comes out of there too. So, I mean, it's a big challenge to implement something like that, you know, as far as keeping people safe. I mean, I think that may work in the States, but at the same time, most of your cyber threats are overseas. So, yeah, that's a tough one. It's a great idea.
So let me ask this then.
Mm-hmm.
In, I guess, Europe, and I don't know exactly how this works, but isn't American Facebook forbidden or whatever in Europe? Are there certain limitations in terms of what of ours can go into overseas countries?
Well, I think with, I know, let's say India, for example, banned TikTok. So you do see a lot of that going on. And I think what
mm-hmm.
you're thinking about as far as Europe is concerned, you're seeing more of European countries not allowing people to have their information scanned. So it's not a ban on Facebook, but a lot of it is just the whole, well, we're going to crack down on what type of information you're going to have access to. Europe is really strict about that, and I think even India is too. So, I mean, yeah, there's some things that could be done, but then you've got to be a cooperative country in order to make that happen. So, you know, it's just, what are you going to do in order to get those other countries to come on board?
Okay. Well, that is a good question. What do you do? I mean, because if I could see other countries just making more definitive terms in terms of, yes, we'll accept this, no, we won't accept this. And I know we try to be a little bit more of a free society, but I think there comes a point where we need to protect our free society from things, you know, like this. Like, I mean,
right.
it's almost 100% certain that this came from outside of our country, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, so, and this may not, unfortunately, may not be the last, you know. But so, I mean, I would consider an attack.
Yeah, this will be the first of many. But also, too, I don't know if we probably talked about this on the show, but I think one of the things that you have to look at as far as where justice they were able to get justice for was a teenager, I think last year, fell for a sextortion scam. And,
and the teenager committed suicide.
Right,
yeah.
And so they were able to track down, and I think these criminals were out of Africa. So the authorities were able to track down who the criminals were, and, you know, they were able to bring these two or more individuals to justice for the death of that teenager. So it'll be interesting to see, in this instance, if they're, you know, if we're able to do the same thing, because obviously, I think the elderly gentleman is at fault, but at the same time, they need to figure out who scammed this guy. And the other thing, G, that we haven't even talked about is how they were able to get the information, enough information from this gentleman in order to do a convincing scam. Because again, it was a ransom threat on his nephew who's in prison. How did that information get out?
So, I mean, I know what we're talking about. Some of this happening overseas, but to me, it would seem that some of this is like an inside job from in the prison.
It may have been, but then there's so much information out on the dark web about all of us that you could build a profile about somebody and, you know, have enough information to use it to extort them. It's like, you know, the lady the customers that we deal with here, with the extreme stuff that they think that's going on with their electronic devices. There was a lady, get this, there was a lady that we deal with that it was a situation where she didn't even want her Windows 11 computer set up because she was afraid it was going to, if she connected it to the internet, then hackers would immediately get in to her computer and start doing stuff. I mean, you know, and then I told you one of our customers lost their job because she just got really paranoid about what she thought was being done as far as being tracked. It was a situation where she insisted her husband unplug their internet because she was convinced that they were spying on her. So we're seeing more and more of these cases of people just being super paranoid. So it wasn't shocking to me to see, some older elderly man attacked somebody, but, I mean, it's just more and more. And, I mean, it's obviously showing that it's getting to scary levels as far as how people are reacting to the variety of cyber threats that are going on.
Yeah.
We had another customer, get this, we had another customer, and this shows how much information that people are getting. He's a little paranoid, but he retaliated kind of like this elderly gentleman did to the criminals And they, I know this doesn't sound very malicious, but they, the last words they said to him is like, we'll show you. So then they proceeded to apply $500 to his cable account, you know, and you wouldn't think that would be malicious, but that's kind of a sign of, well, we know a little bit more about you than you think we do. And, you know, he thought his account had been compromised. And, I mean, it was just criminals just pushing back and saying, this is, you know, we know about you, and if we really wanted to inflict some damage, we can. I mean, I even had a scam come across, and this was from a Twitter post. I was on an American flight, and it was delayed. And you know how some people will tag a an entity if they're upset to see if they can get some business on, like, Twitter or social media. So when I was out, I made it to San Diego, and I got a call from a scammer who said he was from American Airlines and that they were going to put me on the no-fly list because of the post that I made on Twitter. I don't know how they got my cell phone number, but they called my cell phone number, and I don't even give it out. So, I mean, you can understand the level of paranoia. You know, luckily I was, like, engaged with somebody in conversation. I'm like, dude, can I call you back? And he got so upset. He's like, well, just prepare to walk everywhere. And he hung up. So I went to American Airlines later and just asked. I'm like, can you put negative stuff about American Airlines or any airlines? And they're like, yeah, you can post whatever you want. We're not going to put you on a no-fly list. But it was a scammer. And like I said, I don't know how he got my number. So, yeah, I mean, it's scary the reach that they have. And so I understand the fears that people may have. But at the same time, you have to understand that a lot of the cyber crimes that are out there are socially engineered. That is the whole goal, is to get you so paranoid and so worked up that you'll do anything in order to rectify the situation. And unfortunately, in this case, someone lost their life.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
You know, don't you be falling for any of that stuff. Do you hear me? I said, don't you be falling for any of this stuff. If you,
You know, I'm not going to fall for a lot of that stuff because I don't even hardly spend a whole lot of time. Not for that, on the internet. I mean, I do. I spend more time than I used to, you know, but no, not for that.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, the thing that people don't realize is that, you know, as far as your information getting out on the internet, you're one data breach away, you know, because aren't you an AT&T customer?
Well, sort of, secondhand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, you know, they got breached a couple of weeks ago, and, I mean, it was major.
Right.
They kind of downplayed it, like, oh, well, we got breached. But it was Social Security numbers, emails, password, I mean, everything that you would need to assume someone's identity. So it's stuff like that that you have to be aware of and just make sure that you keep your personal information as close as possible. You don't want that stuff out there, and if you do, you got to take steps to protect yourself, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. I actually have a question that we did not pre-discuss, but I do want to ask you about it because I just saw something come up, and I've been meaning to ask you about it. So we are here with Burton Kelso of Integral, and if you have any tech questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is our Tech Thursday, the third Thursday here on G's Power Hour, and we're here with Burton Kelso's Integral. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. So I have signed up for information to kind of keep track of things. Have you heard of Nextdoor?
Of course.
The app
I love
Nextdoor. Okay.
Yeah, I
yes,
love Nextdoor.
I do too, for the most part. But lately, one of the things that I've noticed is there have been these posts where people have said, we just moved here and we got robbed and similar types of things. And, you know, I think they take advantage of people wanting to be neighborly because that's basically what the app is about. But at the same time, there are people on here now. I've noticed it emerging more and more. Seems like they're begging for money.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean,
they've gotten
you know,
in these dire situations.
Oh, yeah.
So,
there's a ton of people. That originated with Facebook groups. And with groups, like in smaller communities, it's kind of sometimes easier to spot the scam because in a small town, everybody knows everybody. But Nextdoor is most of it dealing with subdivisions in urban areas. So
right.
If you take that Facebook group scam and take it to the next level with Nextdoor, then the chances are that you're going to be caught are slim to none. And criminals are always thinking of, well, what's the next scam that we can get people out of? And, I mean, Nextdoor is perfect because if you work it right, the good thing about Nextdoor is that if you develop your contacts, then they'll start to invite you into other neighborhoods. And then you can just start
mm-hmm.
taking advantage of people and not necessarily have to face the consequences of your actions because you're – a little far more removed on Nextdoor than you would be on like a Facebook group or even a LinkedIn group. But yeah, I mean, I've seen it too, but it's one of those situations like we were talking about earlier where people just have to be a little bit more vigilant and trust people. For example, so there was some kid at our school or my boys' school that was kind of acting like he was homeless. But it turned out after some investigating, because I got on Nextdoor and was asking about this kid, it turned out he got into an argument with his aunt and uncle, and they booted him out of the house. And all it took to get back in was for him to apologize to him for his rotten behavior. But, you know, he was just trying to run a scam about, well, I don't have this and that and the other. And, yeah, it's like you just really have to vet people before you believe what they say, because it seems like there's more and more scammers, and I think part of it is the internet and the fact that you can do it in a somewhat anonymous way.
Yeah. I really like Nextdoor, and it looks like, you know, neighbors trying to help each other out, small businesses trying to help each other out, and then this shows up, and it's like, oh, not this too.
But I think what people need to do, like you would with Amazon. So, you know, if you find some scammy merchant on Amazon, then you, at least mm-hmm. in the reviews, you can leave a review and say, well, yeah, don't trust this company because they're a scammy company. Same thing needs to start
right.
happening on social media Nextdoor, where if you know these people are scam artists, then people need to alert other people not to fall for this scam. So, but yeah, it's unfortunate, like even on a local level, you're seeing people take advantage of. And, you know, the other thing that happens too with the online stuff is the GoFundMes. You have to watch out for the GoFundMe post, you know. Mama died, and unfortunately she didn't have any money, so we need to set up a GoFundMe for Mama and collect money. But, and then what's so bad about those, sometimes people may play the victim and say, well, I don't know how to set up a GoFundMe. And then you have someone who thinks that they're setting it up for a legitimate cause, set one up, and it actually turns out that the person's a scam artist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So one of the things that
because what you were talking about too, about the GoFundMe and all this kind of stuff, this, that, and the other happened. I just started seeing more and more of these, and you want to kind of believe the person, but it's like, wait a minute, there's too many of these soft stories, you know. And
oh,
I
yeah.
guess I've gotten a little jaded in my old age, but you know.
Have too.
What else did you want to address today?
So it's this, so more cybercrime stuff, but I mean, just to show how nefarious criminals are, one of the emerging threats that's coming out is something called ghost hacking. And this is the instance where criminals will actually commandeer the social media accounts and email accounts of deceased people. I mean, how bad is that, you know? And the way that these criminals are getting access to these accounts or even finding out if people are deceased is they're like looking through the obituaries, because obviously that stuff's posted online now. You can, if a criminal thinks that someone's deceased, nowadays with the internet, all you have to do is go to find the grave, or you can just type in the person's name in obituary, and if they pop up, then at least you know that that person's dead. And then criminals can take and commandeer those accounts. It's and I mean, people are like, well, why would someone want a dead email account or a dead social media account? Well, even in our connected age, the problem is that if someone passes away, number one, you may not know it, because the person who is deceased may have not set up a memorial account for their social media platform. And maybe family members don't have access to the social media account to make that announcement that someone has passed away. And with that information that criminals can get, then they can commit phishing schemes and get away with it, because under most circumstances, if you're dead, no one's monitoring your social media account or your email account. Sometimes they'll go even further and try to access banking account to, you know, get funds, or any account where they can obtain money. So it's it just shows how criminals evolve, because just when you think you have one scam licked, then another scam pops up in its place.
Yeah, I got to stay vigilant. Definitely got to stay vigilant.
One of the things that social media has kind of been aware of the memorialized accounts, and I think only currently Google and Facebook are the only ones where you can set up an account where if someone has passed, then you can take over their account and transform it to a memorial account. So like if a death anniversary pops up or birthday pops up, then people can leave posts on the page to memorialize the person. That has to happen now more so than ever, because if you either don't deactivate the account or shut it down, there's a great chance that a criminal can take over that account. And what's interesting is that we're almost at a point in our online and digital world that there are more accounts of deceased people as opposed to living people.
Yeah.
So that just means that there's that many more scam accounts that can occur, that criminals can have access to. Because the thing is, if you commandeer an account from someone that's deceased, a lot of times they may have been active on Facebook or any social media account. So it means that there is some activity. Also, the account may have been around for a while. And these are things that you really can't replicate. So like if you're a scammer and you set up a Facebook account, it's going to look pretty odd that you just joined Facebook in 2024, as opposed to being someone who joined Facebook back in 2008 or 2009. So commandeering an account of someone deceased, you have the ability to make the account look like it's an actual legitimate account rather than a scam account, because there'll even be activity from the deceased person too. So it's an attractive, you know, those old accounts are attractive to people, mm-hmm. and that's why criminals attack them.
So should that be, let's say, put in a will or given to an executor, or is like, okay, I have these social media accounts. I mean, how important is that to get it deactivated? Should that be left for someone to do once the person is deceased?
Well, I think what a lot of people need to do is, to, you know, once they advance in age, is need to memorialize a lot of items. And, of course, if you don't memorialize the page, at least give out your username and passwords to all of your online accounts so that your family members can go in and either memorialize account, deactivate account,
right,
or at least monitor it. But, you know, a lot of instances as far as death is concerned, sometimes people just die suddenly and you don't have access. I mean, we've seen a lot of that where someone will have passed away suddenly and then family members are scrambling to get access to username and passwords in order to find out if what information they can get from the account. But I think in this digital society, we all need to just get to a place where spouses or close family friends, that we do need to have a list of passwords that we can pass on to them to online accounts so that they can either shut them down or do something with them, you know. And then the other thing that I can think of, too, with all of the dead accounts out there, maybe social media platforms should just go through the process and start closing these accounts after maybe a year of inactivity, you know. Or at least,
okay.
Yeah, at least make you prove, if you haven't been active in a year, with maybe some ID that you own the account and maybe you want to start using it again. But measures have to be put into place in order to make, you know, in order to help keep people safe from all of these scams that are going on. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, that we have to rethink how we do things and, you know. Because, I mean, even 5 years ago, people weren't really thinking about, well, we need to get Meemaw's password or Pawpaw's password so that we can protect his account, you know, or their account.
We were trying to just get Meemaw and Pawpaw a social media account at that point, you know, because they were resistant, you know.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. We've got to do a little bit more than that now.
Right. The other thing that people should start doing, too, kind of on the same subject, is to start to digitalize their lives, meaning like old photographs and movies and stuff like that. Maybe move it to the cloud so that way you can share it with family members. But we're just in a different space right now where even in death, you know, you have to protect the legacy of your loved ones. And, I mean, that should stop, you know, once you have funeral services. You shouldn't have to go through this whole drawn-out process. But, you know, criminals don't think that way. So, I mean, that's the big problem.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take our final break. We are here with Burton Kelso of Integral. It's Tech Thursday on G's Power Hour. And if you have any questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Tech Thursday on G's Power Hour with Burton Kelso of Integral. And if you have questions, comments, the number is 516-387-1944. I wanted to ask you about something I just saw about X, I guess, or the former known as Twitter. Yeah. Kind of losing ground. Have people kind of fallen out of love with Twitter now that it's become X? What is that possibly linked to? Is it been that many changes on X that are making people uncomfortable? What's going on?
Well, of course, the thing with X is the fact that you can – there's really no filter as far as things that you can say on X like before. Because, you know, Facebook has its filters in place so you can't make inappropriate comments or post inappropriate images. But that's all gone with X now. The other thing, too, is X is becoming more of a pay-to-play platform where if you want to take advantage of specific features – that you have to pay in order to use it. So, for example, on X, they have the ability to have you edit your tweet, or I guess it's still called a tweet. But, I mean, that's one of the things that you have to pay to do. If you want to add more text, you've got to pay. So the whole pay-to-play strategy is really working against X. But what's kind of holding X together is the fact that a lot of media personalities will get on X and post timely news. So for the news community, X is really a great platform for them, but at the same time for the average user, X is just not the platform anymore. So that's why you're starting to see it lose ground. And I hate to tell you this, the next platform that's going to suffer from that is Facebook, because Facebook is becoming more pay-to-play as far as you being able to get exposure, because the algorithm has really buttoned down on posts and made it like you would almost have to boost a post in order for your friends to see what you're doing. But ever since Elon took over, I mean, it just really hasn't been a fun platform to be on anymore. So it's starting to lose its appeal.
So is this a comeback for snail mail?
No.
That you actually have to send them.
Right. But, to be honest with you, in this digital world, it's not a bad idea to revert back to snail mail. I mean, I know the price of postage is going up again. I think snail mail is now the mode of communication that is a choice, because if you send someone a snail mail message, then obviously it feels a little bit more heartfelt than someone sending a text message or even a message on Facebook. But I think with social media, if you're sending someone a message on like the direct messaging platforms, that's more, I need to urgently get a hold of you. Whereas snail mail, obviously, is the heartfelt, I really care about you because I took the time to write this letter to you. So, I mean, that's one of the things that we have to look at, in our digital world is our preferred method of communication. So.
And that might
but I think the
even
other
help
thing,
cursive, that might even help cursive
will.
Writing make a comeback.
Because
a lot of our kids don't know how to write cursive.
I agree. Another thing that's keeping X around is the fact that people, especially if you're entrepreneurs, you want to hold on to your business brand. So I think people are not necessarily using the Twitter format to post, but they want to show up. And I think in this day and age, to be successful in social media, it's all about just showing up and just posting your content. Because you'll see people put their TikTok posts on X, things that they shared on other social media platforms. So it's like, well, it's here. I want to expand my reach, so I'm going to cross-post everywhere. Because the challenge that you have to worry about with, like, Facebook is, you know, you could become a Facebook felon. And I'm a Facebook felon because I was booted off Facebook for 23 days. And you're not able to do anything when you're in Facebook jail. You can look and maybe like some posts, but you can't comment. You can't post anything. And so if you're an entrepreneur, you definitely want to keep your digital marketing strategy going. So, you know, you want to develop your brand on other platforms so that you can continue to be seen and continue showing up.
Yeah, exactly. So
I was going to bring up something that I was going to bring up something that you that would make you happy with you being an Android user. With the fact that Samsung has overtook iPhone again. I mean, it's happened before, but yeah, Samsung is in the first quarter the most purchased phone. And it's interesting because there are several factors. So number one, as you know, Android devices are much cheaper than Apple devices. Apple's been having supply chain issues with China. And, of course, it's the whole China versus the U.S. thing as far as tech is concerned. So a lot of so China's making it harder for Apple to develop iPhones. But then also, too, iPhone is kind of at, like, a weird place, or Apple's at a weird place, whereas your Samsung devices are starting to integrate AI into them. Apple doesn't really have any plans as far as AI integration into their phones, and you remember the last thing that they released was that Apple Vision Pro, which is that wonky headset that you put on to interact in the metaverse, something that people really haven't talked about since 2022. So it puts it in an interesting situation, but I think overall it kind of, you know, it maybe become more of a Samsung world than it would be an Apple world. You know what I mean?
Ooh. Or more of an Android world, I guess, because, I mean, you still do have the other, like, LG. I can't think of.
Yeah, you're right. LG, yeah, Google Pixel. Google, yeah, it's all Android-based.
Android-based,
and the transition's not hard if you're an iPhone user and you wanted to go to an Android device. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, I've got both. I've got an iPhone, and I've got an older Samsung device or a Samsung phone that a customer gave me. But, yeah, it's not hard to switch between both of them. And so it makes it appealing for people that are wanting to go with an Android device. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at all because Android always seems to be or at least Samsung always seems to be a little bit more cutting edge with their phones. And you know what's interesting about Android phones is that on most of them, the camera is going to be a better quality than what Apple offers. That's not to say Apple phones don't have good cameras, but Android phones, and especially Samsung, the camera's great. And that's what people really are starting to concentrate on now as opposed to be like an Apple brand. Because, you know, you were pristine if you had an iPhone, but if you have an Android phone, the things that you want, or anybody who has a smartphone, the things that you want are you want a good camera, and you want your phone to be affordable, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Makes a whole lot of sense.
Heck yeah. Because, I mean,
my understanding, too, is that the Android phones are a little bit more customizable than the Apple. Yeah. I mean, I even see
they
that with my my husband and I got our phones. We usually buy our phones outright. Got our phones at the same time. And I look at his phone and I look at my phone. It's almost like night and day. It's like, you really don't use your phone, do you? Because I have a whole slew of apps. And and basically, I think he has eight.
But I will tell you this, too, is that go ahead. You go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the things that's interesting in the IT community, many tech people carry Android phones and iPhones.
Really?
Because of the customization. Yeah. If you run into a tech guy, nine times out of ten, they're going to have an Android phone on there because of the customization. I'm kind of the unicorn in the bunch. I carry an iPhone because that's just kind of what I started with. And I just stick with it, you know? But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see why
you
would want an Android.
Yeah. Well, like for me, it's like if I can't customize it, it's kind of worthless because I have to add real estate programs. I have to add the program that gets me into the homes. I have to add the program that gives me access to the listing information and other things too as well. So, yeah, the Apple doesn't work for me. I have to be able to customize and add the different apps and stuff. But, I need a pretty decent camera when I'm taking, if I end up taking property pictures or whatnot or having to send information to customers, you know.
Right. So. I get it. So, yeah, it was interesting to see that pop up as far as Samsung, again, overtakes iPhone because, you know,
wow.
Apple's been ruling, but they're starting to slip. Apple's starting to slip. They're just concentrating on the wrong technology. Obviously, and I know in this day and age is AI. That's the huge thing, and you need to have that AI integration.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Listen to you. Yeah. AI.
Okay. I'm robot.
I know her. Oh, there you go again. Hold up. You know what would be your worst case scenario apocalypse? Are you ready for this? So your worst case scenario apocalypse would be iRobot combined with Live Free or Die Hard. If that.
those are the real life horror movies right there. There you go.
I do it. If I live closer to you as a prank, I would find like a mannequin robot that I like have standing at your front door. And then I would get, like, one of those internet blockers. So then you would lose internet at home. And then you're like, what's going on? And you peep out the door, and there's, like, some iRobot standing at your front door. You would just probably go running in a spare bedroom and just lock everything, you know. Yeah, because I know those are your worst-case scenarios.
I might come at you with my Louisville Slugger. But you guys heard it right. If he moves to Florida, you know I'm target number one, okay?
It would be worth
it
to see you coming out your front door with your Louisville Slugger beating this fake robot out, you know, because you think it's our robot. So that's so funny. That's funny.
Yeah. So what else is going on? We got a couple minutes real quick. I meant to ask you about some Earth Month tech, and I did not ask you about that. So we might want to get into maybe a little bit of that next month, but I know what we got to get into some summer tech next month, preparing for summer tech next month as well as some other things. Yes.
Real quick, right to repair is becoming a big thing now. So that would be a good Earth Month thing because Apple and other companies make it very hard for you to repair your devices. So obviously that stuff winds up in the landfill.
So we definitely
need to talk about that.
Because
it's
remember, like, when I first got my phone, it was like, oh, you have a problem with your phone, you know, just take out the battery or, you know, your battery dies, you change the battery. You just got to get another phone.
That's right. You just got to throw it away
insane.
And get a new one. It is insane. It really is.
Yeah.
So, well, it was good talking
to you
this month, as always.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. Appreciate it. I know you're, you know, a world-renowned figure, but, you know, thanks for keeping up with the little people.
Right, whatever, G.
You all take care. You know, you and your family have a blessed month. Talk to you later.
You too. Okay, you too.
Take care. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I'm your host, G. Thanks for listening. Be well, be safe, be blessed. Hug a loved one, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.